Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes. It's not usually the ancient one, the ATM, the JTATM money that's holding it down tonight. I know that's who you're waiting on. I do. But it's Mr. FSC doing it because I do it for you only because I can, and that's what I do. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show. JTHM Money's got some things he's got to take care of. I'll be sitting in for him for the next couple weeks on all of his programs, so get used to this voice and get used to intelligent conversation. I know JT is doing what he has to take care of, so I'm not going to bust his balls too much, but I'm sitting in. We got Jeff the Joker, as usual, on the line. Caller from New York, New Jersey, where the Super Bowl is going on. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing? I'm on the Jersey side. I'm west of the Hudson, as usual.
Yeah, man. But we still want to get your insight on what's going on up there in that area in concerning the Super Bowl, because when we found out that the Super Bowl will be taking place in New York, you and Jerry had some pretty bold statements to make, and I want to talk about those statements now that it's actually going on. So we'll get to that. Also, sitting in for Black the Brooklyn, a.k.a. the Brooklyn Monster, a.k.a. Mike Wright, we have Clarence Nixon Jr. on the line. He's a boxing aficionado making his world debut on FSB Crew Show. He's going to sit in and help us out with one particular interview that we're going to get in today. And he and I are going to have a debate. MMA versus boxing.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And you know what? We have a great, great show lined up for you, because today we're going to have one of boxing's legends appearing on the show. We hope to get him on sometime soon. Daryl, Too Sweet Cole, supposed to come on the air today and speak with us. We're going to talk to him about his past, his present, and his future. That should be a very, very interesting conversation. We'll get to him as soon as we can. I'll probably dial him up in about 10, 15 minutes. But I want to bring in my cousin. I see he just popped up on my screen. Mikhail. Ta-da. What's going on? Mike. Call from the 240. Are you there? 461. All right. I guess that you don't want to talk right now. I'll put him on mute. I thought it was my cousin. Guess I was wrong. All right. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, today we have a jam-packed show for you. Again, we're going to be discussing boxing, MMA, the Super Bowl. We're going to sit down with Daryl Too Sweet Cole and get his insight on boxing and what's going on in the world of professional boxing right now, as opposed to back then in the 90s and early 2000s. There's a lot of rumors circulating about the sport, you know, as far as Don King during that era where he dominated and controlled pretty much boxing. Outside connections with known persons of interest for the government. We're going to talk about that when we get the opportunity. Right now, what I want to do is I want to bring Jeff in the conversation. and talk about what's going on. What's that big game that's happening up in New York that's got your city in such an uproar?
You know, I'm almost sick and tired of hearing about the Super Bowl, but, you know, I just wanted to get over with. From the get-go, I thought it was a lousy idea, and I'm curious what all these media and fans coming from all over the country are going to say after the fact, because up here, the roads are lousy, the weather is lousy, the airports are lousy, the traffic's lousy. It can be an inhospitable place. And somebody was telling me that they've told people that they are taking all the security precautions, of course, for the game, and don't be alarmed tomorrow when there's a Black Hawk helicopters flying around. They're just, you know, getting ready for the game, you know. But that's cool because you got to be ready for that kind of thing, you know. But, you know, they're encouraging people to take buses, you know, for local people. And if you want to park your car in the stadium lot, it's $150. That's not a fee.
What?
That's a jack. I'm not kidding. They don't want people taking cars to the game. Oh, shoot. I just missed my exit.
Chris Christie, you know what? Chris Christie, he shuts down the interstate just because some people in the military voted for his opponent, and now he's jacking people for their parking right. I'd find a friend and park in front of their house and walk. Jeez.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that had anything to do with Christie as far as the parking fee. I think that's just the way the stadium has for discouraging people from driving to the game. So, I mean, they do have buses, but, you know, if I wanted to go, I live 5 miles away, and to pay $150 to park your car is obscene.
Yeah, bro. It sure is. So what's been your take on, you know, the events, how they turned Broadway to NFL Lane or whatever it is they called it, and all this other rigmarole? You know, you see it on TV. I'm out here on the West Coast.
This blew me away. They have the NFL experience. It's one of the events they have before the game, and there's a big convention center in New York, the Javits Convention Center, and the NFL wanted to have the event there, of course, because that's the big convention center, and whoever had the center booked for that week said no way. And they even though they were offered money, they wouldn't move their convention. And you know what? I kind of like that in a way, because not too many people say no to the NFL. And, you know, some things aren't for sale and some things aren't negotiable, and that was one of them. That blew me away.
Okay. All right. Clarence has been somewhat quiet on this subject matter because I threw it to you, Jeff. But talk to me about this. What are your thoughts as far as the Super Bowl being in New York City / New Jersey, actually in New Jersey? Is it a big deal? Because that's the way the sport has been played and portrayed all the while, and there's no real reason to just keep it in a sunshine or a dome atmosphere. What are your thoughts, Clarence?
I think that what the NFL aspired to do was, you know, let the more natural element come into play because, you know, when you had a Super Bowl and near perfect or ideal setting, you know, it kind of take away from the games that got you to the Super Bowl, you know. So I don't really have a problem with it. It's just that, you know, when we're facing possible snowstorms, that's where, you know, it can come back to bite you, but I mean, I'm cool with it, man. Like, I used to play Madden and, you know, change the weather for the Super Bowl. So I'm cool with it, man. I think that, you know, it looks cool, man. Well, sometimes it may rain. It may, you know, some weather elements, man. I ain't got no problem with it.
All right. Okay. Clarence seems pretty easy with it.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to turn the show over to Jeff as I attempt to get in contact with Mr. Cole, Collie. Like, why did you say mess with this dude's last name? He's probably going to try to come over and punch me.
It's Coley, man. It's Coley.
I know. See, look at this. Wait till we get to our MMA boxing. I'm going to correct you a few times. All right, well, Jeff, I'm going to turn it over to you for about 2 minutes. And get on your stage and talk about whatever's grinding your gears. The floor is yours, Jeff.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, most of you listeners are familiar with me. Live in Passaic, New Jersey, about 5 minutes from where the Super Bowl is being played, in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It would have been nice to see my favorite team, the New York Giants, in the game, but, those are hard to come by, and they've got 2 Super Bowl wins in the past 7 years, so you can't complain about that. It's funny, people sometimes for Super Bowl try to figure out a reason or root for a team. You know, if there's a player they like on one of the teams or somebody from their hometown. One of the Broncos is from Paterson, New Jersey, which is close. But there's a deaf player on the Seattle Seahawks, and I happen to be friends with a lot of deaf people. And, he's the first deaf player in the NFL in about 20 years. His name is Derek Coleman, not to be confused with the basketball player who played for the Nets and some other teams. And he's on a commercial for batteries. And, he's the backup fullback for Seahawks. But a lot of people are rooting for him. He's number 40, so I got an eye on him. And, it's huge for him. And like I said, it hasn't been a deaf player in the NFL in about 20 years. The Super Bowl is such insanity. I get a kick out of the proposition bets, only for entertainment, of course. Things like who's going to score the first touchdown, who's going to be MVP. And then it gets to the silly stuff like how long the national anthem's going to last and so on and so forth. This is an event unlike no other. And, I was against it because I thought it was a lot of logistical problems having an event on both sides of the Hudson. And if there was a blizzard, the thing that makes it hard is not just playing the game, it's all the people traveling. And looks like the weather will be adequate. I wish they were kicking it off a little earlier so it would be a little warmer. Conditions would be a little better, but, they got to have that 6:25 start to maximize viewers. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a high of 36. It doesn't matter how much warmer it's going to be. I mean, come on, guys. That's just what I say. It's going to be, 25 degrees at kickoff? Is that what they're saying it's going to be?
I heard actually it might be warmer. And, it's not that bad, but is this what you really want the championship to be played in? And then it looks like there won't be a blizzard, but unfortunately, there's that chance of a blizzard, which could mess up people's travel plans. And that's the difference between having the NFC Championship at the Meadowlands and having the Super Bowl. Because if it was just the NFC Championship, you don't have all these people coming in from out of town. And they had a plan. If there was going to be a blizzard, they could push the game to Saturday or to Monday. And that would have created such a headache for so many people. But, the NFL isn't considerate. They don't care about anything except making money. And the main reason this game is happening in New Jersey is because the Jets and the Giants owners really, really wanted the money. The new stadium cost a bundle, and they got all their friends in the league to vote for it. This is just a money grab by the owners of the Giants and Jets who co-own the stadium.
Well, they probably tried to wrap it around the whole 9/11 thing. They wanted to get a Super Bowl. When it happened, 9/11 that is, Goodell and those in power said they wanted to have the Super Bowl in either New York or D.C. To You know, I guess mark, you know, that these events happened and celebrate those two cities. That's what probably was put out, but you're right, it's probably the money. I mean, not probably, it must be the money, like Dion's album goes.
that was a good album.
You probably still bumping it, ain't you? You bumping
hey,
it,
man,
you
know
what's up. Well, I got you some curl juice, Clarence. I got you some curl juice. Now, but the whole purpose of the Super Bowl is to pit the two best teams in the NFL against each other. And this year, that actually happened. It just so happened, and this is my opinion now, that it's in the perfect conditions. Football conditions. Football, yeah. We all like playing it when it's nice and warm and nice grass and it's like 76, 80 degrees and stuff like that. But if you think about your inner kid or when you were younger, even some of the young ladies played throwback tackle in the snow. When you had a snow day, you went out to the street or in some in the country, in the backyard, wherever you went, played with your friends in the snow, and had some of the best football moments you ever had. So if it snows, great. If it doesn't, great. If it's bitter cold, fine. You know, football wasn't meant to be in a controlled climate arena. At least it was made that way for comfort reasons and to build speed of these players. Like, you put some of these cats on the AstroTurf, they're flying. You put them on regular grass, they're fast, but they're not as fast as they would be. Real quick, I'm going to give you guys an update on what just happened. I just spoke with Daryl, and we're going to try to get him on in about another 15 minutes or so. He has some stuff he had to take care of, so we'll get him on the air in another 15 minutes, and we'll have him on to discuss those other things that I mentioned at the top of the show. So I hope that everybody sticks around. Daryl Too Sweet. Say his last name, Clarence.
Coley. Daryl Coley.
Coley. I say Too Sweet. I'm just calling him Too Sweet. How about that? He answers to that. But we'll have him on the air in about 15 minutes. And it actually works out pretty well that that's going to happen because right now, ladies and gentlemen, Clarence and I are going to have a little discussion. A little discussion. I want to talk to Clarence and let Clarence expound on his MMA versus boxing prowess. Now, Jeff, I know you're not a big MMA fan, and some of the listeners that are tuning in for boxing might not enjoy it, but I want to get into this debate because I'm going to ask Daryl the same thing. Clarence, please allow the listeners, I guess that's crucial to understand and know your stance on MMA versus boxing.
Okay, now, I just want to clarify first, man, that I am a fan of MMA as well as boxing, obviously. And I just believe that boxing requires more athleticism. You know, you have to react much quicker in boxing. And that's my stance on that. That's not to say that, you know, that boxing is a better sport because that's, you know, that's the opinion of whoever's watching it. But as far as, like, overall athleticism, I think boxing got the edge, man. You know, these guys have to react in, like, split seconds. Like, literally, like an eye blink, you know, can change the fight or end the fight. With MMA, it's more calculated, you know what I mean? Before a guy kills in an armbar, he has to fight for it. Before somebody executes the guillotine or something, they have to fight for their finish. And even their knockouts, I mean, you know, they do have knockouts like boxing, but their punches aren't as usually as crisp as boxers are. So that's just that's how I feel about that when you compare boxing and MMA. I feel like boxers have to react with a much smaller window. And what you got to say about that?
Well, Clarence, I don't know if that's you outside or is that Jeff outside, but Here's two things. Okay. There are two things here. I totally disagree with you on the fact that boxers have to react quicker than fighters. The reason why is very simple. It's very simple. Within MMA, boxing takes place along with karate, Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and also other mixed martial arts. Reflexes are based upon a person, quick twitch muscles. Boxers, yes, they got to bob and weave, they got to use footwork, handwork, but so do MMA fighters. The difference is you're adding kicks and takedowns in MMA. You know, you don't have a ref that's going to separate you every time you clinch. You don't have a ref, you know, telling you to keep it above the waist, even though, you know, low blows happen. But mainly, I can kick you in your thigh all day. I can punch you in your thigh all day. I can do whatever I want as long as I don't manipulate your appendages, poke you in your eyes, or hit you in your private. Now, your stance, it's yours. I can't dispute that. The only thing I can dispute is that a boxer's reflexes are just as good as an MMA fighter's reflexes. I personally think someone in MMA has to react faster because you never know when that roundhouse kick is coming. You never know when that straight jab to a hook to a takedown is gonna happen. You know, the combinations are endless in MMA, whereas in boxing, yeah, you can throw 10-punch combination. You can do all that stuff. All I got to do is step to the side. All I got to do is just move my head. All I got to do is duck. I mean, I can't pick you up and push you off of me in boxing. I mean, to dispute that one aspect, I say that that's my reason for saying that quick twitch muscles and quick movement in boxers is not the same and is, in my opinion, less than someone in MMA. Now, let's discuss this. A boxer.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say their gloves range from what? 8 ounces?
8 to 10 ounces. 8 to 10 ounces.
Yeah, 8 to 10 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
So you got about a pound if you're talking about liquid on your hand. You know, but it's not liquid. It's 8 ounces. But you also got your hands taped and all that other stuff and protect your knuckles and stuff like that. MMA, you have open finger, sometimes less than an ounce padding, and you do have tape on them, not heavy tape like some boxers that can coat their tape with cement. Miguel Cotto, I mean, I don't want to mention no names.
It wasn't
but,
the cold,
yeah,
that was Margarito, man.
Margarito, Margarita, Feliz Navidad. I ain't trying to be racist, but whatever.
Yeah.
So you got that going on, right? And you can disguise your punching power. You can do all these wonderful things. In MMA, in my opinion, it's pure in the fact that it's pretty much bare knuckles. What boxing started off as, pugilism.
Mm.
Okay, you get some guys in a ring and you slug it out with some gloves on. But it started off as bare knuckles. And MMA is closer to the origins of boxing than boxing itself. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, if you just narrow it down to that, then yeah. You know what I mean? But you have to remember that, like, if you're like defending the athletic aspect, a boxer is punching with heavier gloves at faster speed than a mixed martial artist is punching with lighter gloves. You get what I'm saying?
I'm saying.
And then, like, you know, when you think about the MMA guys, like with the with the amazing hand speed and the flashy knockout, you're probably talking about the top two or three guys in the whole organization. Now, with boxing, you can take an average welterweight, and he can punch as fast, if not faster, than some of the best MMA guys from the boxing discipline. As far as kicks and grappling, Greco-Roman and all that stuff, as far as that goes, that's relating to endurance. You know, that's a whole other avenue right there. On reaction and athleticism alone, the fact that an average boxer, like even a past his prime boxer that's not in great shape like a James Toney, even him, his hands are probably, like right now, his hands are probably as fast as Junior Dos Santos. And James Toney probably weighs 300 pounds. Come on, man. I'm in
hell
right now, man.
We already got two for that. Terry, do I need to bring up the fact that Randy Couture? Yeah, Randy Couture took that man down, dodged his punches, and laid him on the mat and just pummeled him and kept him on the ground, and his hand speed, there was none. Now,
he took him down in 3 seconds, man.
Yeah, he took him down in three seconds, yeah.
But see, he took him down with a wrestling
move.
Where
was his speed there? Where was his speed? Where was his quickness? His reaction time
James
that you
Toney,
said was so much better.
James Toney is a boxer. Randy Couture is a mixed martial artist. So it's not like they weren't fighting under boxing rules. So he took them down. It's not like he was bobbing and weaving and counterpunching James Toney, because he would have got ate up if he tried to stand up with him.
Okay. I'll give you that. However, when they came out and James had an opportunity to establish his jab, you know, he wasn't quick enough. According to you, he needs to be quicker, or he should have been quicker, and he would have avoided that takedown. I'm just saying.
I remember watching that fight, man, and he went for a double leg, like, within the first couple of seconds. He went for a double leg takedown,
okay.
And but that's not disputing. That's not, like, saying that James Toney didn't have fast. Hey, he just didn't know how to defend the wrestling move.
Okay,
you
but
got,
you said
they're back. Like, you got to remember, man, in boxing, these guys literally, like, when they got to react for 3-4 minutes in that round. They don't get to hold each other and wait unless the referee breaks them, you know, and the referee breaks them much quicker. The referee will break a boxer, break boxers within 2 seconds. MMA, I see these guys hold each other for 2 minutes, and they call it dominant position. I'm not knocking them, but, you know.
Correct.
That's what they call it. They'll hold each other for. So it's just like, how can you see that as being, how can you see that as being more athletic than two guys that have to stand up and every
easy,
keep my every
easy.
Millisecond, man.
I'm gonna tell you how easy it is, because what happens in MMA if two guys are locked up on a cage, trying to establish dominant position, right? That's what you said, and that's what it is. They're trying to establish dominant position. If the ref sees there's no movement, the ref breaks them up immediately. What happens on that cage is dude's punching, kneeing, he's elbowing, he's trying to pummel. And for those who know what pummel is, that's when you try to swim, act like a swim move to gain the underhook underneath of your opponent so that you get that leverage. They're doing all types of things, which takes energy, a lot of energy, on a big guy, small guy, or whoever, to do it. So if you can say they're on their feet 5 minutes, got it. They're on their feet 5 minutes. I mean, 3 minutes. They're on their feet 3 minutes per round. Then they go sit down for a minute. Then they come back out and do it again. Some of these guys are, there's no way to run to in a cage, even though I've seen people run around in the cage and they get caught. But there's no safe zone, if so to speak, in MMA. If a guy is against the cage and the other guy is laying on him, shouldering him in the face, elbowing him, punching him, kicking him in the knee in him, and he's absorbing that, and the other guy's doing it, it takes energy. Even when you're riding somebody, and the riding is when you've got the dominant position, whether it's on the front or the back, and you're putting your weight down on somebody, you have to exert that force and let your weight hang on that person in order to gain that dominant position. Some guys like Gordon,
they call that riding.
In wrestling, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, they call it gaining dominant position, of course, but that's riding time. When you ride somebody, that means you've been on top of them, or you have control of them at some point where they're on a mat, and you're in that dominant position. So you're pretty much riding them. You're gaining a dominant position. And you have to exert some type of force. And even when you're on the mat, the referees see no action. What does the referee do? Breaks them up, stands them up, and tells them to fight again.
Let's be honest here, Victor. No. What you're saying in theory sounds good. Like, they're supposed to break it when there's no action. But you and I both know, man, I know you've seen fights, man. 9 times out of 10, man, it takes that referee about an extra 10 or 15 seconds before he actually breaks them up, man. Like, it's nothing.
There's no movement.
Yeah, I've seen it, man. I know you've seen it, man. Where they'll be standing there moving their arm out the way and, I guess, trying to establish position before the referee breaks. And I don't, what's athletic about? That's endurance. I'm not knocking that. That is endurance because you have to, exert your weight and, move around. But that's not athleticism when a guy with a pot belly, can be like a top grappler or a top MMA fighter. It's like, come on, man. Like, there's nothing athletic about that. Athleticism is displayed. Anthony Pettis, he's an athletic guy. Some of the moves he do, athletic. Chad Mendez, these are athletic guys. They're able to do things on their feet, moving around. But those guys that just get on top of somebody and move their arm out the way to execute a choke, it's like, come on, man, that's not athleticism right there, man.
So choking somebody out isn't athletic?
Nah, man.
I
got choked out by a fat dude in the sixth grade, man. There's nothing athletic about that.
He had to gain the position somehow, some way. All right, check this out. We're going to finish this up. I'm going to turn the floor back over to Jeff real quick as I try to get Daryl on the line. It's about that time to get Daryl in here, let the people hear about what's going on with him, boxing and stuff like that. So, Jeff, I'm going to allow you to go ahead and run rampant with Clarence. And maybe y'all can discuss some boxing history real quick, if you don't
mind. You
gotta say it like that, man.
I did used to watch a lot of boxing growing up. My father, my grandfather liked boxing. I kind of lost interest in boxing in the 90s. I think it was because I got sick and tired of seeing lousy fights being put on pay-per-view or whatever, and a lot of the nonsense, bad decisions and stuff like that. I've seen mixed martial arts. I don't care for it. I don't know. I just think it's a little too barbaric. I actually met a pretty good mixed martial artist, Matt Hamill. He's a big celebrity in the deaf community. Nice fella. And I actually saw on pay-per-view his fight with Rampage. And Hamill didn't win, but he showed he's tough and he could take a hit. I think it's interesting what Vic was saying about bare knuckles boxing because that sounds a little uncivilized. But I saw that in a movie a few days ago. So with Clint Eastwood, so I've been thinking about bare knuckles fighting. But you know, for all those years, in the 80s and the 90s when I was watching boxing, everybody was saying, "Oh, one of these days something's going to come along and really surpass boxing in popularity." People thought maybe it would have been wrestling or something like that. And because boxing is so corrupt and it's so fragmented and whatever, and it wasn't wrestling that did it. It was MMA, because boxing is not what it used to be, thanks to MMA. I don't really care for it, but it is very popular.
It's popular, but I still believe that, boxing still holds that number one combat sport title. Like when a guy like Floyd Mayweather, when he fights, it doesn't even matter who he fights. He can bring so many viewers, so many crowds So I still think that boxing still has it. It's just not as common, like, you know, in the 80s or the 70s. There were maybe more boxers that can command crowds. So while boxing is diminishing,
how many guys can bring in a crowd like a Mayweather? There's very few of those guys now, very few.
No, see, I agree with that. That's why I believe that, like, the amount of big pay-per-view draw caliber fighters have diminished, but boxing as a sport is still there. Because so long as boxing as a sport can command crowds like that, regardless of who's bringing them in, I think that's keeping boxing going. Now, when it comes to a point, hopefully it never gets there, but, you know, if it comes to a point where even Mayweather can't bring in crowds, that's when you pretty much know, okay, boxing is pretty much dying. But, you know, this guy, he has everybody talking about it. The Mayweather fight, you know, people that don't even watch sports, they are going to watch Mayweather fight. Now, I'm not knocking MMA. I still think they're big, but, you know, I don't even think they have anybody that can contend with Mayweather in terms of star power. I still know people that they don't even really know who's fighting on MMA. Like, they just say, okay, MMA is coming on. With Mayweather, they know boxing, Mayweather.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, though, in terms of, like, boxing has fallen a little, but I don't think it's been replaced by MMA.
But, you know, boxing, they could use a young guy, you know, with a lot of, you know, talent and a lot of charisma, like a Ray Leonard or a, you know, Muhammad Ali would be perfect for the sport, would really help a lot. But the thing is, even if you have a great fighter like that, you know, once they get huge, they're only going to fight maybe a couple times a year. And, you know, from when I was watching, a lot of the great fights came from, there were certain divisions that were very talented. And if, you know, there's a lot of talent in one division or in close divisions, that creates great fights and great rivalries. And those were some of the great fights I saw growing up, especially in the middleweight classes then were very good, you know, from welterweight up to about super middleweight. That's where a lot of the good fights were.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I'm a little younger than you. I know of that era from film and footage or whatnot. But, you know, I agree that, you know, fights don't happen as often as they should. Even when we're talking Mayweather, like, you know, there are about, you know, maybe two or three opponents that he can take on right now that, you know, that could be blockbuster fights. But the fact that he doesn't do it, I think, you know, that's like he has the opportunity to do things like they did in your era. But he's not
doing it. And that was, you know, even then, I didn't like it, you know, because, you know, once guys get to a certain status, they don't fight very often, you know, once, maybe twice a year. When I was real little, the heavyweight division was stacked, and that's when boxing was very, very popular because, you know, it's been proven the lower weight classes could sell, but, you know, you want to go way back, it was the heavyweights that really put fans in the seats, and that was what everybody paid attention to. But you go that far back, boxing was the first big money sport with, you know, $1 million contracts for athletes. And but then there became a lot of other sports became big money sports and a little safer than boxing. And at this point, there's probably a lot of parents don't want their kids to box. And I hope that doesn't happen to football, where a lot of parents don't want their kids to play football. But, you know, deaths in the ring and things like that, I think, you know, kind of discourage the youth participation in boxing.
Well, see, it's actually contrary to that because, you know, you have professional athletes of other sports that actually do participate in boxing, not on a competitive level, but they do utilize the training. And there are also guys that that left football and basketball to come to box, like they have played in high
and
school
MMA.
And college.
Don't forget MMA.
They go to MMA too, but think about this though. Like, you got MMA fighters that are trained by boxing trainers. So I mean, that's
that
you something
true.
Right there.
So now I'm gonna stop.
Mm.
You are absolutely 100% right about that. 100, because they need to hone their skills in boxing. 110% correct about that. Now, and since we're talking about honing skills, I'm going to bring on somebody that honed their skills over a long period of time. And for a very, a decade and some change, this young man was dominant in the welterweight division. I believe he only had two losses. One was to Oscar De La Hoya. So there's nothing to cry over. Could have beat him. He got robbed, a lot of people say, by a Don King-promoted fighter with a controversial split decision. The gentleman was born in Gary, Indiana. So, you know, he got a little Jackson 5. He got the little step and moving in him. He got the rhythm. But he was raised Capitol Heights, Maryland, Washington, D.C. area. So he's one of ours. He's one of ours. And I've been saying his name wrong all day. Give me about this. But I'm about to bring on the fighter, the former champion, Darrell Too Sweet. See, I messed the last name. I ain't going to mess up. What's up, Darrell? Darrell.
Hey, man. Hold up, man. You're not going to give me my last name, man. Hey, look, my name is Darrell Too Sweet Coley. Don't mess it up, baby.
You know what? I didn't want to mess it up. Because I kept saying Cooley all day, and then
Clarence
told me. But he was like, no, it ain't. Shut up, bitch. Don't say that. So, you know.
Right. Now, it's cool, man. You know, my man, Dan, you got that right. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on, man.
Not a problem. On the line right now, we want to welcome you to Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show. We have one of our regular co-hosts, Jeff the Joker. He hails from New Jersey, so he's got that Jersey accent.
How you doing,
Clarence.
Jeff?
Hi. Thanks for joining us, Darrell.
All right. You're welcome.
We got Clarence. Now, Clarence is he supposedly knows your entire history, but I shocked him with something he ain't know nothing about.
Well, if
he
didn't know something about something, you got Clarence. Hey, Clarence.
What's up, man?
How you doing, man? Nice to meet
you, man.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it, man. Nice meeting everybody, man. Who else you got on the line? You got somebody else on the line?
I got somebody else on line, but I believe we're going to have a question, so I'm going to hold off on them for a minute. Hold off on them because we got to get to the nitty-gritty here.
Mm-hmm.
You were a pro boxer
right.
for a very long time, growing up in the 90s. Yeah. I was in high school, stuff like that. There were a lot of things going on during that time frame, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were considered one of the pound-for-pound best fighters in your weight class, and
mm-hmm.
in the world, pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
went on and headlined shooting cards. You were promoted. You didn't go for the big promoters, I should say,
mm-hmm.
but you had your camp.
Right.
Tell the people to this generation, about you, where you grew up, how did you get into boxing, and what is it that drove you to become the champion and a champion?
Well, I started boxing when I was 9. The incident that happened with me, I was 5 years old. My best friend, Eric Givens, was 6 years old. Our birthday was on the exact same day. And what happened was my brother, to make a long story short, my brother and Eric's brother was best friends. And he asked me one day, can I beat Eric in fighting? I said, no, he's 6 and I'm 5 because I thought because he was older, he can beat me. And make a long story short, we walked up the street, and Tyrone and Jeff got us face-to-face, and I'm thinking they're going to ask us who can beat. But when we got close enough to each other, Eric punched me in my face, and I started crying because this is my best friend. And I'm like, but the punch didn't hurt. And I tell Eric Givens to this day, the punch didn't hurt me. My feelings was hurt because this is my best friend. So as we walking back, my brother said, the only brother that I got, he said, my little brother is a punk. My little brother can't fight. That hurt me more than anything I've ever experienced in my life to this day. And 4 years later, when I was 9, I started boxing. And I ran home to tell my brother, hey, Jeff, I signed for boxing. He started laughing and said, you box? I said, okay. He think because Eric beat me up, I can't fight. So when I've had my first fight, I said, I'm going to prove to my brother I can fight. I lost my first fight, and I cried so hard because I said, I'm going to try this one more time And I ended up having a record as an amateur, 96 wins and 4 losses. And I won 4 Golden Gloves. I was rated number 2 in the world. And I still didn't understand whether or not I liked boxing or not. I just knew I was good because the dedication I put in to prove to my brother that I can fight. And when I got to a point of whether or not I'm going to turn pro or get in the regular 9-to-5, I said, well, let me become, I said, if I turn pro, that means I'm a professional athlete. And I'm like, wow, that's huge to me. And when I turned pro, I kept saying to myself, I'm a professional. I can't believe I'm a professional. And that made me become a great, dedicated fighter because I wanted to make the best of me becoming a professional. That was huge to me. I was a celebrity in my own mind because I couldn't believe I was a celebrity. I was a professional at anything. And I had a license to be a professional. But, I think boxing has gotten to the point that boxers are having too much dictation on a sport based on Floyd Mayweather. He's calling the shots.
Wow.
And when you had promoters that ran boxing, Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather would have been for each other. I think it's due, you know, boxing fans deserve that kind of fight. The reason why, because we still talk about the Marvin Hagler's fighting the Sugar Ray Leonard's, the Muhammad Ali's fighting the Joe Frazier's, because that's what boxing is about, how you talk. It's not about winning or losing. It's about giving us or being in the atmosphere of the biggest fights that you're going to talk about for years and years to come. And when you choose not to give it to us, that's not fair to the fans.
That's part of my next question to you, and I'm going to let these guys jump in here. But that speaks volumes to what I was going to ask. What do you think about self-promotion? Because a lot of fighters are starting to do that now. Floyd Mayweather, Oscar De La Hoya, what's that guy that just started? It was one of those Latino fighters. Just started doing it, you know. You know, what is your take on these guys, self-promoters? They're cutting out the middleman, but, you know, apparently you have a holdup with that.
Yeah, you know, I think even though financially it may be a good move, but when you're talking about having a job, I had a job. My trainer did his job. I was the fighter. I done my job. My PR person done his job, and my manager and promoter did their jobs. We all had jobs. Now, as the fighter, I don't, you know, it get to a point where though you make too much of your own decisions when you're telling, no, I don't want to fight this person for a reason. If you dictating what goes on, they would never become, well, the world would never see, you know, this huge mega fight because they, one of the two may be, like I think Floyd has a fear of losing. It's not about winning or losing. It's about giving us the pay this money the opportunity to see a great fight. It's not about winning or losing because you're a boxer. You got in a sport that tests your ability against the next person. If he beat you, it doesn't make you less of a man. It shows that you tried. Nobody, there's no, Muhammad Ali had 5 losses. He's considered the best fighter ever lived. That was to some people, but he had 5 losses. And the guys that beat him, they won't ever put them over top of Muhammad Ali because even though they beat Muhammad Ali, they're not considered better than Muhammad Ali. Floyd Mayweather is scared to take a loss, and he's shorting. And what's making it worse, Floyd fans are agreeing to the nonsense, and they running with every excuse that he make. You fight this guy. I don't know if Floyd can beat him or not. I don't care. I just think the boxing world deserved that fight. And Floyd is the one that's not making it happen. He's bringing up too many different excuses. He fought 40-some fighters, and nobody had to go through what Pacquiao had to go through just to fight him. I just don't think it's fair.
I understand that, brother. I mean, I'm a Pacquiao guy. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm hearing your reasoning. I'm quite sure somebody's going, if my cousin was on this line, he'd go at you. because he thinks the total opposite.
Because you know why? Because Floyd makes everybody believe what he's saying is true. Now, this is what he said. I can name 9 excuses that he made before. Whatever reason he didn't want to fight Pacquiao, it would be that reason from the first time he said it to now. But it's all different reasons. Now, this is what he said. Now, he's saying Pacquiao is on drugs. He live in a total different country than Pacquiao. He have no idea where Pacquiao live at. He don't know what Pacquiao do on a daily basis. Pacquiao passed every test that they give him, and he say he live in Vegas, say Pacquiao is on drugs. And everybody run with it and say Pacquiao is on drugs. The commission would not let – they test us. If Pacquiao did not get caught being on drugs, because they would have mentioned it, and it would have been the biggest news in boxing. He never got caught on drugs. So how can Floyd say he's on drugs? I just look at that. It takes away. I don't. Floyd might beat him. I don't know. But But every Floyd Mayweather fan runs with that and say, "Oh, he's taking something." Nobody seen this man take nothing. And didn't come up in his system when he took the urine test or the blood test. Then he say he got to take the urine. He got to take tests 5 or 6 times while he's in training. For what? I don't know, man. You know, I just think that boxers have too much control. Maybe it's not a good thing because I'm guaranteeing you look at some of these guys' resumes, like Oscar De La Hoya's resume. He fought everybody. He got Shane Mosley, Bernard Hopkins, Pernell Whitaker, Floyd Mayweather, Pacquiao. All these guys is on his resume. He didn't duck anything. And my Evander Holyfield didn't duck nothing. Muhammad Ali didn't duck anything. When you duck a fight, meaning you don't believe in yourself, it takes away from being who you claim to be. So, I mean, I wish your cousin was on the phone.
You know what? I'm going to find a way to call him up. I'm going to look at my phone and give him a call because he's going to listen to this playback. We're going to have him back on for real. Just right now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to let Clarence, he knows everything about you except the one thing I know. Now, what I heard was a rumor, and I want you to clear it up. I'm going to let Clarence.
Oh, my God.
I'm just telling you, bro. You can refute it and clear the air right now. But Clarence is the boxing aficionado.
Mm-hmm.
I want Clarence to come on here and enlighten us with a great question for you. Clarence, floor is yours.
Hey, man, why you put me on the spot like that, man? I'm not gonna mention anything about any
man, you can mention what you want, man. You can mention what you want, man. God,
nah,
mention anything you choose.
I'm gonna keep it about boxing, man. I don't know.
Nah, you can ask me any questions, man. I'm on the
nah,
air,
I'm
man.
Gonna,
people want to know.
Hey,
you can
man,
ask me
I
any questions.
Say, I agree with you, man. I agree with you about Floyd, man. I agree that, you know, he put stuff out in the air. Nobody ever thought anything about Manny being dirty until Floyd started saying it. Nobody,
until the pressure got on Floyd to fight him, yeah.
Yeah, like, and Manny was jumping weight classes back then. Nobody said nothing. Soon as Floyd
nobody
went
said.
To drugs, everybody wanted to say, oh, maybe he using steroids. But I
but
agree
see,
with
the,
on that.
The thing is this. They show Pacquiao when he first came to boxing and how much he weighed. And Floyd picked up just as much weight as he did during the same period of time. Floyd, Manny Pacquiao never fought at 154 pounds. Floyd Mayweather did. So he's actually fought heavier than Pacquiao. The biggest Pacquiao guy was 47. Floyd Mayweather fought at 154 junior middleweight before. And he started at 126. So, I mean, I don't, but people body grow differently. You can't tell me that this man can't pick up 30 pounds in 10 years. I mean, how you going to say that? Go look at your pictures 10 years ago. You bought 30, 40 pounds lighter. I mean, heavier. You know what I mean? Lighter. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
so how
you
going to
do this married kid?
Yeah, say it again.
I said De La Hoya and Trinidad even did it. They started at Trinidad 147, De La Hoya 130. They moved up.
Yes, most definitely. And then De La Hoya fought at 160. So that's 30 pounds. You know, that's 30 pounds. So I don't know, man. You know, when you search for excuses, man, this man, now the reason he's not fighting him, because he owed taxes. What do taxes got to do with him fighting? What do taxes?
I'm a Floyd fan, though. I just want to make that clear in case the listeners think that I'm one of the people that this. I'm a Floyd fan, but even I can see, you know, I can see through certain things. I'm unbiased.
I'm going to say this. I know Floyd. Been around Floyd, been a Campbell Floyd. I'm a Floyd fan. I'm a bigger boxing fan than I am a Floyd fan. And a lot of people got to understand that. It's okay to be a Floyd fan. I'm a Floyd fan, but I'm a bigger boxing fan. So when you rob boxing from the big events that we're going to talk about for the next 30 and 40 years, I can't respect it. We all want to see. You're making us pay pay-per-view for who you want us to pay you for. Won't you fight who you want, who we want to pay for? It's only fair.
And that's another thing. That's another thing right there. And you said it, that we want to pay for the fight that we want to see. But
yes,
Floyd is making people pay
for
fights
what
that
he wants you to see.
Fight.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not
and
fair.
That's fine. That's the business side of it. As you said, every person in your camp had a role, had a job.
Right.
And since Floyd is all those jobs rolled into one, he's picking and choosing and stuff like that. And people are saying, well, he's got like five fights left on Showtime. So three of them are done. He's got two left. Who are going to be the fight? Who wants to pay to see him fight somebody he already fought before? Or some
yeah.
young guy that may or may not give him a good fight?
Right.
You know, $60, $70, it's tight nowadays. It's tight.
Yeah.
So if
yeah.
you want me to fork out that money, give me the fight that I want to see, regardless
right.
of whether or not you win or lose, like you said, because it's not about whether you win or lose. It's about being able to go in there. You gave your best.
Right.
It's about being a man, straight up and down. Real quick, I got to do this before anything else. We got 3 minutes left of live air on the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to us on the Internet, catch us back on the archive. We're going to go live until Too Sweet says you don't want to talk no more. So we got about at least another hour of conversation if he's up to it. But for those that are about to leave us, definitely come back to the archive. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ZICHBK and listen to the program. You can also go to spotonradio.webs.com, and it'll be streaming 24/7 for the next several days, anywhere, anytime. You can pick it up. If that's not good enough for you, go to fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. You'll get the same thing. For the next couple of days, that's all you're going to hear on those programs, because I own them, and that's what I do. But I want to thank Too Sweet for coming on. We're not done with you. We're not done with you. But for those that are leaving us, you're going to miss some good conversations, because I got one crazy question. You're going to be like, where the hell you hear that from? But I'm just going to hand reveal my sources. So we got 2 minutes left to live, and I want to kick it over to Jeff, because I know, Jeff, you probably have to take off in a little bit. Any questions? You're the New York guy. You grew up in Boxing Central. So talk
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, I know Too Sweet fought De La Hoya at the Garden, and to me it doesn't get much bigger than that, because you want to go way back. There's so much boxing history at the Garden, you know, back before they started having a lot of the big fights in places like Vegas and Atlantic City. There's a lot of boxing history where I live. There's a monument not far from me to Joe Louis, because he used to train in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, and he was loved by the community. I mean, he was a great man. And a few years ago, Lou Duva put up a monument to him for everybody to see for a lot of years. I once bumped into Bobby Chez. He's from North Jersey. I bumped into him in a local bar. What a nice guy. You know, it's funny, I heard other things, but I bumped into him, and I didn't want to bother him, but we just happened to cross paths on the way out. Very nice fella from Wanacue, New Jersey. Too Sweet, you probably heard this question a lot, but there was a movie called, a long time ago, Penitentiary, a low-budget movie. There was a,
oh, God.
Yeah, oh, we had Kennedy. And he was called Too Sweet. And how did he got that name? Because he liked candy bars. Now, how did you get the name Too Sweet? I hope I'm not being too silly.
Man, let me say this to you, man. When I was making my pro debut, they was putting my name on a poster, outstanding amateur fighter. They asked me, do I want a ring name? My nephew said, "Dale, go with Two Sweet like the Penitent." I said, "No, man, I'm not playing no Two Sweet games." So what he did was actually call my trainer one day I wasn't home and said, "Leonard, Daryl wants you to put Too Sweet as his ring name." And he was like, "Do it." He said, "Yeah." They never said nothing to me about it. When the posters came out, I seen it. I said, "Man, what the heck?" And it's like, I'm like, "Why did?" I said, "What?" Because nobody heard my nephew say that to me. I mean, how did that get there? So my trainer said, "Your nephew called me." I said, "Man, take that off." But they was already printed. And after they went, and I kept trying to get them not to say it. They kept putting it on the flyers, and then it just stuck, man. So I just kept it, man. I just kept the name. Man. My nephew gave it to me. It was a joke. He put it on the flyer as a joke because it was basically from the penitentiary, the movie.
So all that joking we do, I guess it's real.
Yeah, man, and I'm like, I was trying my hardest, man, to get that stuff up off that fly, because it was like, but I knew it was for the movie, and I'm like, man, I'm going to make the best of this, because after my first two fights, people come and say, "Too Sweet, can we have your autograph, can we take a picture?" I'm like, well, I can't change it now. I say it's branded now, so I wouldn't want to keep it. I did pretty good with it.
That's a great story, and yeah, you did.
Thank you.
What would you like to be done to change boxing for the better? What would you like to see?
I want to see the best fighters fight each other. I want to see. I guess when you're talking about a sport that generates so much money, it's kind of hard for anybody to play fair. But I want to see the best fighters fight each other. And if the best fight each other, boxing would be a better sport. You know, it shouldn't be a reason why they shouldn't fight each other. They should have to fight each other, or they don't fight. No more until they fight each other. I just think that's how boxing should be built, around fighting the best. Excuse me. I think because we as fans paying for these fights, I think we should decide which two fighters fight.
I agree.
You pretty much believe in like a universal like commission or something like.
because you know, when you get to a fact that when you're making $30 million a fight, like Floyd don't need anybody. Floyd's gonna make his own decision. Floyd's out of control, but I'm guaranteeing if we stop buying his pay-per-view and we stop looking at him, he's going to have to do exactly what we say.
Hey, Ed, I need you to say that one more time. I like Floyd. I love you, Floyd. I want you on the show. But say that one more time, please.
Yeah, if we stop paying for Floyd fights, he's going to have to obey what we want. And, you know, because right now he's flashing money in our face. He's laughing at us, saying, "Y'all going to get what I give y'all, that's it, and that's all. I'm not giving y'all nowhere near what y'all want." He's laughing. He's driving every pretty car you can drive. He got all them nice homes. He's laughing at us, right in our face. He's flashing everything right in our face, saying this: "I'm going to fight. I'm only going to give y'all what I want to give y'all." Ray Leonard gave us the Hagler, the Tommy Hearns, the Roberto Duran. You have to give. You have to give it to us. You have to. You know, I think. Say it again.
No, I was going to ask a question because you brought up a good point. Where would you classify him with the Ray Leonard, the Hagler, the Hearns, Trinidad, De La Hoya? Where would you rate him?
Well, as far as skill, it's different. It's two different ratings. As far as skill, or as far as heart, because skill wise, he's amongst them. When you sit there and he's smart. It's not smart on no one's behalf, because smart and fear is a thin line. Because if you say this to Floyd Mayweather, Daryl Cody have not been in the gym in 5 years. Whatever you think Manny Pacquiao is on, I'm gonna put that in Daryl's system. You fight Daryl Cody right now. He haven't fought in 10 years. But I'm going to put whatever Pacquiao is on for $100 million, the same amount of money you're going to fight Pacquiao. and Daryl Cody's going to be on that same drug you think Pacquiao is on, would you fight him? Yes, he would. Yes, Floyd would fight me. Don't matter if I came in at 160, he still would fight me. He's not going to fight. So basically what Floyd Mayweather is saying, I can beat Manny, I just can't beat the Manny I'm looking at. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
Man,
do that make that makes sense, right?
that makes perfect sense to me, man.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Sense.
He's just saying, I can beat him. Don't get me wrong. I just can't beat the one I'm looking at. It's on the internet. Man, he knocked out Cotto. I struggle with Cotto. You don't compare yourself. Like, he said, okay, I struggle with Cotto. He knocked Cotto out. He must be on something. That's his.
Yeah. And that's the sad part about it. He used what you just said, he's using that. I even heard him say something about Shane Mosley wasn't getting knocked down.
Thank you. Thank
Manny
you.
Knocked
Thank
him
you.
Down. I'm like, dude, maybe Manny just hit him with a sharp punch. Maybe Manny work hard in the gym like you, you know?
Yes. Yes. You're right.
It's a lot of things about boxing that personally, and I want to ask you this as well. I'm a boxing fan, but I'm also an MMA fan. But there's a lot of things about boxing that I can't stand. Because, you know, the scorecards, the systems not being unified, like Clarence said, you know, there aren't any fights out there that I really want to go see. There's no boxer I really want to go see. You know, so my question to you, where was the new age, the younger generation, they're looking at MMA and shying away from boxing. Do you think it's because of some of this self-promoted boxers or the sport has gone flat, or is MMA just a better sport?
I think the sport is going flat because of the fact that, you know, they can say what they want about Don King. I wouldn't sign with Don King to save my life, but Don King gave you a card where he's not biased because whoever wins, he's got them anyway. So Don King will put fighters together like Terry Norris versus Simon Brown. You know, he put the fighters together. There's no sugarcoating that. I think when you get to the fact that you have fighters that don't believe in themselves, they're going to cherry pick all day long. Now, and, you know, it's like Pacquiao. The reason I'm a fan of Pacquiao, he fights anybody. He fights when he just want to fight. He don't care if he want to lose. He want to fight. You know, it's like when you sit there and fight. No disrespect to these guys. Floyd fought Sean B. Mitchell. He fought DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley. He fought Zab Judah. Between them three, it's maybe 30 losses, and he fought them back to back. Don't respect that. And none of them had to take a test. None of them. He didn't cry about a test for about none of them. But when you bring Pacquiao, somebody that he might be, but got a chance to beat him, it's too much. He put too much in the game. That's not a bigger chance. That's not a bigger challenge than Muhammad Ali when he fought George Foreman. George Foreman was killing everybody. Muhammad Ali took that challenge. Riddick Bowe took the challenge with Holyfield. Ray Leonard took the challenge with Marvin Hagler, Durant, Tommy Hearns. You don't run away from a challenge. You run towards it. You know? And people think that I don't like Floyd. I love Floyd. I think Floyd the best. But when I can't support that. I can't support it.
I see. All right, Jeff, I know you're going to have to go because of class or something like that. You got any more questions you want to ask?
No. It's been a pleasure. And I learned a lot more about boxing tonight, and hope everybody enjoys the big game on Sunday.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Jeff.
Take care.
All right,
Jeff.
Thank you.
All
right,
Jeff.
I'll see you next Thursday, Jeff. All right. That was Jeff the Joker, one of the pros of MSP Crew Show. Had to step away. But here comes the big question. All right. Here we go.
I'm ready. I'm in shape for big questions.
Okay.
I'm in shape for them. I'm good.
Back in the day, there was a lot of controversy going on in the D.C. area. You know, there was a – we were called Chocolate City. We were also called the Murder Capital. One of the reasons is because of a notorious a.k.a. gangster or whatever known as Rayful Edmonds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There were some rumors that Rafal like he liked to frequent your fight, frequent the Hoyas fight. He had a relationship with Alonzo Mourning, but there were rumors that he had something to do with you, and he kept you away from the business, so to speak. But he was in close proximity to you and your camp. Tell the people, is that true or false? And anything else?
It's true and false. The reason I say that is because Ray was like the way I fought. Ray reached a bet on me. And when I win, he'll slide me some money. Ray never came to the gym where I trained at. He only liked me because he thought I was a good fighter. I never been around Ray outside of the boxing. He never knew where I trained at. But when he knew I fought, he came to support the fights. And he always betted on me when it was time to fight. He used to bet everybody in the arena, whoever was betting. But and when I win, and he always give me some money. But that's the only relationship I have with Rafal. I didn't know him. I seen Rafal maybe 5 or 6 times outside of boxing. When I see him, it's in pattern like that. That's Rafal because he got the flashy cars. But yeah. I thought he was a good guy. You know, everybody heard about Rafal and this and that. But I didn't know him personally like that. I didn't know him personally.
Okay, that kills the rumor. See, Clarence, again, Mister, got the boxing on locker. I got boxing on
Hey, Clarence. You take me to the notorious Rafal Evans. I can't wait to see you.
Oh yeah, man. Wait, I just seen you a basketball player, or baseball player. You a boxer, man. I'm not
right,
gonna
okay.
jump out there like that.
Right,
hey,
right,
hey,
right.
Hey, Clarence, that's why Vic, FSP, does this. I know these things. I find out. I'm an investigative journalist up in here. You understand?
Oh, man.
You understand? But anyway, that was my big question. There was some controversy out there when I mentioned that we were going to try to get you on the show. Some of my friends back in D.C., you know, they mentioned some things. And I just wanted to clear the air and make everything right. So that's
man. Rafal was locked up before I turned pro. I was an amateur when Rafal was home.
I was
an amateur, man. I think, you know, matter of fact, I fought you. If y'all know Keith Holmes, the ex champion, WBC champ, I fought Keith Holmes,
mm-hmm.
and he bet on that fight. I still to this day don't know who he bet with because Keith, he was cool with Keith too, but I beat Keith so. If he did bet, he should have bet on me. that was a big fight. I know Ray was at the fight. That was a big fight. Yeah, I beat Keith.
Okay. So what's going on with you right now? What's going on in the world, Too Sweet? And what endeavors have you gotten into? And what should people know about you?
Well, right now I'm looking for any fighters with any kind of records. With any weight class, I'm managing fighters and getting the fights. Man, I got a connection that they fighting once a month, and I'm just trying to because a lot of people that fight don't really know how to get fights if they don't have no promoter or manager, and they be in the gym for 5 or 6 months without fighting. But I'm looking for any fighters, man, that's trying to fight. Man, contact me. I wish I can get my contact number out because everybody contact me, but. I wish they can contact me because I'm just managing fighters right now. Managing fighters
okay.
and getting them fights and getting a fair fight.
Go to?
No, it's not. It's not.
Is there a
I'm
website
just, you
to go to check you out?
No, it's not. It's not a website. I haven't built a website yet. I'm just going past all the gyms and finding who don't have managers, who won the fight. I'm just trying to figure out who's trying to fight.
Dusty Fernandez, young guy.
Very, very good fighter. Yeah. Yeah, very
well,
good.
What do you think about him?
What do I think? Hold on, say both of you asked me a question at the same time.
Oh no, I just asked. Right. I said, what are some of the gyms that you visiting?
I visit all the gyms around the city. All of them: Sugar Ray Leonard, Keystone, Waldorf. I visit all of them. Yeah, I visit all of them and just see. I'm looking for anybody, journeyman. I'm looking for any fighters that just want to fight. Yeah. Mm.
So you're looking for people trying to make their pro debut?
I'm looking for anybody. If you trying to fight pro, I'm looking for you.
I want Floyd, man. I'm a 6'1 welterweight, man. I want Floyd, man. Can we work?
Hey, are you going to pass the drug test? Because you're going to have to take one. Hey, look. If you want to take the drug test, now we can make something happen now.
I need a three-day cutoff, though, man.
You need what?
I said I need a three-day cutoff, man. He's talking 24 hours. I don't know if I can do that, man.
Well, you know what? He'll take it. He haven't seen you fight before. He don't care what you weigh. If your name not Pacquiao, he don't care what you weigh. He don't care about nothing.
As long as we can get Floyd, man. I think I can get him with a left hook, man. He ain't going to expect it, man.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of people thought they can get him with something. It ain't work out that way, man. Floyd.
You don't have a drug test clearance.
Yeah. After that statement, most definitely.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
My question goes back to Dustin. What do you think about the young man? And he's pretty much the hottest thing right now coming out of D.C. Young, trying to make it big, and pretty much on the same path that you were on when you came out. So what do you think about that young guy?
I think very highly of Dusty. I think my only advice to them, not Dusty, but to them, because Dusty's doing what he's supposed to do. He's knocking out and beating everything they put in front of him. But my advice to the people that's handling Dusty, I think they need to step his competition up at this point, because when you get used to fighting guys that go out with that same left hook you hit them with all the time, it's going to be somebody that's going to punch you right back in your mouth. And then, you know, I don't know how he's going to take that. So he has to start stepping his competition up right now. I think he can handle it. I don't respect the competition that they're giving him at this point. I just think that he's ready for the upper level. I just think they need to give it to him.
Well, there's another fighter, too, that's in the same gym that actually trained with Mr. Broner. I got a question about that one, too. His name is Mike Yes Indeed Reed. Have you heard about him?
I heard the name. I'm not familiar with Reed. I heard the name. I did hear the name, but I'm not familiar with him. I did hear the name, but I'm not familiar with the guy. Reed.
He's a young, talented guy, making his way up. He just turned pro not too long ago. He's been fighting like every other month. They fought out in Dover Dams and places like that, and Laurel, different places. But my question centers around young talent. It seems like you're going into the promotion business. What about this promotion business do you see yourself being successful at? Find these young, hungry cats.
Well, I'm gonna be very successful because I know that what I have to offer and basically good pay and fighting on a regular basis, a lot of people don't have. And in order for you to become somebody, you have to fight. So you have to fight. So in order for them to become successful, and they got to fight. And I have an opportunity to fight these guys. I think I'm going to be very successful once I get – I have a few fighters, but once they see them, how I move them, they're going to piggyback off that and come on board.
Okay. Clarence, you got anything else for Too Sweet?
Yeah. Like, what about training fighters? You ever thought about doing that or –
Well, the reason I don't want to train fighters because I'm a truck driver, I'm a CDL driver, and my thing is I know training fighters. I've been a boxer for so long, the trainer don't get paid until I fight. So I'm not trying to sit in no gym for 5 or 6, 7, 8 weeks. I got bills to pay. I can't sit in no gym 5 or 6 weeks and wait for somebody to fight for me to get my percentage. I'm gonna keep my job. And I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna be on the, this in the box. I'm gonna be the manager promoter type guy, you know.
Yeah,
I don't have to be in the gym 4 or 5 hours a day. No, they can't get me like that.
Hey, that makes sense, man. That was a smart move, man. I got another question, right?
So,
you think there's a medium for where fighters, because you know in boxing, you know, like at one point people believe that a boxer should be able to call his own shot when they felt like promoters were jerking them or whatnot. Do you think that there's a medium where the boxer can call his own shot and also give good fights? Do you think that he should always be dictated to?
A boxer should always be his own boss because everybody works for the percentage of what he's making as a fighter. So he, by him paying everybody, yeah, he should be his own boss. But I don't think a fighter should not believe in himself to make excuses. We're talking about when I was rated number one in the world, Pernell Whitaker was behind me. That was huge. And if holding the number one spot in the world underneath my belt, I gotta fight for that. I don't think there's no, if you're a champion of the world, shouldn't nobody be able to beat you, and you should believe in that. So if a person that's in your weight class, what are you ducking? If you're representing, you're the best fighter in the world, what are you ducking? I don't understand. I don't think that no fighter should want to duck anybody or not fight anybody. If you're going to claim being the best in the world, if you say, well, I'm one of the best, like I said that before I fought Oscar De La Hoya. I told everybody, look, I'm one of the best fighters in the world. I'm going to take my shot. Then when I get on the talk show, they said, well, Darryl, you said, I said, no, rewind the tape. I said I'm one of the best, and because I lost, that don't mean I'm not one of the best. That just lets you know I'm not the best. You know, and I said, I've never told anybody I'm the best fighter on earth. I say I'm one of the best, and I was. You know, but when people say I'm the best fighter in the world, you got to step up to the plate and prove it, because other people want to prove their point of being the best fighter in the world. And if you got that crown, people shooting at you. Now, just imagine if somebody never gave Floyd Mayweather the opportunity for a championship fight. The same way he's making excuses up. What if there's a damn Floyd like that? He would not be on this level to make this kind of money, to call these kind of shots. I just don't think it's fair. If somebody gave you a shot to become 5, 8, 7, 8-time champion, give somebody else a shot to do it. Don't get in and run with it. That's not fair.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like
say it again.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like De La Hoya gave him that chance to become a superstar. So, you know, he should give other people chances to do the same thing. I agree with you on that.
And people don't understand.
It's called being a fighting champion.
Huh?
It's called being a fighting champion.
Yes, most of them, yes.
Nobody's going to fight anybody.
Right. So, because you believe you can beat anybody, and believe it or not, champions do believe they can beat anybody, because I'm going to tell you like this. When I was champion, you could told me, do I got a headway for you? He can't beat me, but because I believe in myself like that. And that's why a lot of fighters lose, because they believe in themselves. But now, it was one guy that, I've been around Mike Tyson a few times, and even when I was in best shape, in the best shape I've ever been in, and Mike looked at me too hard, I get a little nervous. So look, let me take that back. Yeah. Hey, man, listen, I just seen Mike do some crazy things, man, that'll scare anybody, man. Mike, my man.
All right, I got one last question for you. I'm going to let you go because we got to get ready to go ourselves. Tell the people out there, what was your best fight ever that you felt you had, or the biggest fight you ever had that you excelled at, or was the De La Hoya your most exciting fight? And after that, just tell the folks your Facebook handle and your Twitter handle so they can reach out to you.
Well, my defining fight to me was when I fought Terrence Ali. I fought Terrence Ali for the NABF belt, and it was a tough fight. I knocked him out in the 11th round, but it was a tough fight, and I think that really molded me of who I was going to be in boxing. You know, Oscar De La Hoya was the biggest fight by far, because basically who Oscar was, and I respect Oscar because he accomplished a whole lot in boxing. I guess by having an opportunity to be on that stage, the biggest stage you can get on, well, it was a pleasure. I challenged the best guy. There's one thing about me, there's no excuses about why I lost. The guy was better. You know, I can remember somebody saying, Darryl, how did you let him beat you after the fight? I'm talking about a couple of days after the fight when I seen him. I said this, not only he can beat me, he can beat you too. You know, don't sit there and act like you can. He can beat both of us, you know, so don't worry about that.
No, are you talking about somebody specifically or just?
Somebody that's seen the fight on TV that don't box at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, somebody.
It wasn't Chop Chop.
Say it again.
It wasn't Chop Chop. Chop Chop ain't say nothing like that.
Nah, man, Chop, that's my man. Nah, that wasn't Chop Chop. But I'm saying, you know, it's like, I mean, you can reach me on Facebook, Darrell Coley, Darrell Too Sweet Coley on Facebook, and that's the only website I'm on. That's the only thing I got. And those who's in the Washington D.C. area, I do a comedy show down Martini's Nightclub every Tuesday night, man, from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock. You can come out, man. Y'all come out. Y'all, I put y'all on the guest list, man. Y'all can laugh for free. Laughter. Let me tell you about laughter. Laughter is the only thing that you can do that you can forget your problems. Any problems you got for as long as you're laughing. But when you stop laughing, the problem's still there, though.
There you go. There you go.
Sound about right.
So come down and forget your problems for a split second.
All right, Darrell.
Hey, man, thanks a lot, man.
Hey,
all right, thanks.
Come on anytime. Anytime you want, especially this Saturday. If you got time this Saturday, about 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I know my cousin's going to come, and I want you to tell him what you told us about Floyd Mayweather, and I want to hear him just try to debate you, because you are a pro boxer. You've been in there with Oscar. You've been in there with the big boys. So you know.
Do this. You got my numbers. Call me on Friday to remind me what time to call, and I'm going to definitely call.
I got you. I might even just surprise you Saturday. And, I'm going to tell my cousin, hey, Mike, I got somebody I want you to talk to real quick. Like, yeah, who you going to bring on? And I'm going to call you up.
Okay.
And all you
got to
do is this 347 number, 2C347, you know it's
yeah.
Me calling, right?
I got you. So call me, man. I'm waiting on the call.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Darrell, Too Sweet Cooley.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
you very much,
man.
Sir.
Say the man's name right, man.
You know, hey, Clarence.
No. This is what I'm going to do. You better practice my name. But when I come on next Saturday, you better have my name right. I tell you that.
I'm going to have it right, because Clarence ain't going to let me not do it right. That's Too Sweet. I'm
all right, man.
Thanks
a lot, y'all.
That's easy for me. That's my speech impediment. I can't say your last name. That's my speech impediment. All right. Thanks for coming on, Darrell.
All right, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Too Sweet has left the building. We got to end this show. I want to thank Clarence for sitting there for Black the Bookie. You're welcome to come on anytime and lose at a debate in MMA and boxing against me anytime you want, Clarence, because you did lose today.
I don't know, man. I think I won on the cards, man. I think it went the decision, but I think I got you.
Oh no! This was a KO. It wasn't even close.
Oh, all right, man. We need to poll the audience for that one, man.
We'll poll the audience, but again, you're welcome to come back on the show as well and spread some knowledge to the folks that want to listen. Also, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to call into our programs, we're here Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Feet Crew Show, every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Fridays, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. They just do wild and crazy stuff on that show. It's our political debate show. One's liberal, one's conservative / independent. They debate hard. Then on Saturday, you have me, it's Mr. FSP. Don't want to do it because I do it for you. Every day, any day, all day, all the time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we talk about the world of sports, mainly fantasy sports, but sports nonetheless. Then on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you got Master Plan, JTATM Money. I'm sitting in for him, where he discusses the world of sports as well, but from an older perspective. He takes you back in the day and brings some statistics to back up everything he has to say. So that's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday morning, Master Plan. Check us out all day, every day on spotonradio.webs.com or fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. You can always come back to blogtalkradio.com / VICHBK to to listen to all of our entertaining shows. And all this stuff is brought to you by our sponsor, FantasySportsbookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So go there today and place your wager to get paid. Clarence, I hope you go there, lay some money down on some boxing or some MMA or something else, maybe the Super Bowl. Are you a gambler like that, Clarence?
Nah. Yeah. It depends.
Yeah.
It depends on how heavy my pocket is, man. If I'm broke, nah, I'm not a gambler. I'm a very conservative person when I'm broke. But if I, you know, if I got some money, then yeah, I do a little something.
All right. You want to say anything to the people before we get off the air?
I do. I was about to say no, and still say something. But, you know, my name's Clarence Nixon Jr. I can be reached on Facebook at Clarence O. Nixon Jr. Hey, I'm going to be back, man. I appreciate the opportunity to be on, you know. Shout out to my man Black, you know, good people. And, that's about it.
All right. Hopefully Clarence comes back with a little bit stiffer jab because he got KO'd by FSP. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here. We'll see you next Thursday right here on FSP Crew Show. We out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah.